Okay, so further in Havdalah. Halachas of Havdalah. Okay, so we were. We spoke last week about the basics, if it's Deraisa, if it's Derabanan, and some of the other basic halachas of Havdalah. Now we want to talk about a little bit practically how to make Havdalah. The Maaseh they used to say over that you could tell if someone is a learned person by the way they make Havdalah. That was the memory that people used to say over. So there's a lot of pratim and a lot of details that a person who does it properly, you could tell that he went through the halachas and he knows. And someone just does it, you know, as a tradition, you know, never went through the halachas, so they don't do everything the way that you're supposed to do it. So first of all, so we said, you start off with psukim, hine kel yeshua si eftach le'efchad, it's a simen toiv to start the week off like that. So that's, sorry, but that's not the Ikar Avdallah. The Ikar Avdallah is the Boy Priya Gafin, and the last bracha. Bracha ta Hashem al kenu al-chalam, mavda mekardash l'choyl, ben or l'choyshek, when yisrael amin, ben yom yishu l'shesh zine amaseh, and bracha ta Hashem al-chalam, that's the Ikar Avdallah. In addition to the Ikar Avdallah, we also make two other brachas, besamim and ner. Okay, and each one of those is a different reason for that. Okay, and they're not really part of the Havdalah. So if, for example, let's say you don't have Besamim right now, or you don't have Nair right now, you don't have to wait for it. You can make the Havdalah now and make the Besamim and the Nair later. Because the Besamim and Nair are not really any Shaykh specifically to Havdalah, Tafka. The Besamim and Nair is a separate issue. That you, it's a mitzvah to make the Besamim and the Nair Motzei Shabbos. But it's nothing to do with Havdalah specifically, even though they're mistaken to do it all on the Kais, but it's not specifically a mitzvah to do it. It's not specifically part of Havdalah. So therefore, if you don't have it now, you can make Havdalah, and you can make the Besamim and the Nair later. Okay? Huh? Havdalah. But you can make the Besamim and the Nair later, you don't have to do it if you can't get it. Or for example, let's say in the yeshiva, it's a big room, and you're not going to get to the Besamim and the Nair. Okay, so by the time someone gets to you, he's already started. So if you start making besamim and smelling, you're not going to be able to hear the bracha. You could say it afterwards. Or let's say you don't make havdalah.
You have to say a bracha after.
Yeah. Now you have to make a bracha. Now you have to make a bracha. What? No, but it's a long time ago. And also, another nafkamina is like mashal. If, let's say, Tisha B'Av falls on a Matzei Shabbos, or for whatever reason, you don't have a kais, so you can't make Havdalah until Sunday morning. So, Lemaisa, first of all, there's a shayla if you're allowed to eat, you're not allowed to eat. But anyway, you whatever reason, you only make Havdalah Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, when you make Havdalah, you do not have to make a Besamim and a Ner, because Besamim Ner is not a din in Havdalah, it's a din in Matzei Shabbos. So it goes both ways. You don't have to do it together with Havdalah, and if you're doing Havdalah, you don't have to do it the Besamim and the Ner. So why do we make a Besamim and the Ner?
So you could do Besamim and Ner Motzei Shabbos and do Havdalah
Sunday.
Sunday if you have to?
Yeah, if you don't have a kais or whatever, right. So for example, Motzei Tisha B'Av, if Tisha B'Av is Sunday, right, so you don't make Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, you make Havdalah Motzei Tisha B'Av Sunday, you don't make a Besamim and you don't make Ner. Okay, now what's Shah? Why do we make a Besamim? Why do we make Ner? So we make Besamim because Besamim is to be Miyashiv, the Ruach, the Neshama Yisera that leaves out from Shabbos. Okay, so that's why we make Besamim. Therefore, for example, Motzei Yom Tif, there's no Besamim because there's no Neshama Yisera on Yom Tif. So therefore, you don't make Besamim Motzei Yom Tif. What about when Motzei, by the way, interesting shayla. What about when Motzei Shabbos is Yom Tif? So we make Havdalah, but you don't make Besamim. You don't make Besamim. So why? Oh, because some say, so it's a machlokes in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, because the Nishan Yisera, even though it doesn't come for Yom Tif, but if it's around anyway, so it sticks around for Yom Tif. But then the shayla would be that, then according to that pshat, they should make it Matzah Yom Tif, and we don't make it Matzah Yom Tif in that case. So therefore, the Rashbam says, the Pshat is like you're saying, that the Simcha of the Yom Tov is Misyashiv Keneged the Neshama Yisera that leaves. Right, the Neshama Yisera leaves, the Simcha of Yom Tov takes the place of the Besamim. So you don't make a Besamim, fine. But but Lamashal on Matzah Yom Kippur, since we don't eat, so there's no Neshama Yisera, so you don't make a besamim on Matzah Yom Kippur, even if it falls on Shabbos, according to most opinions. So machlokes in the minhagim.
Oh, it's only for food.
I guess you have to feed it themselves, you know. So lemaisa doesn't. It's a machlokes in the minhagim. There's minhagim both ways. Now someone may ask, well, what do you have to lose? So you may as well make a besamim. You're allowed to make bari minhag besamim whenever you want. Right now I could take a besamim and make a bari minhag besamim. It's a berkas hanenin. It's a bracha on hana. You can make it whenever you want. So what do you have to lose? You may as well just do it.
Great question.
Oh, no. So what do you mean? Oh, because in middle of my havdalah, I can't say bor priagafen ner shahakol niyavidvara. I would a mezoinis on my cookie and then make havdalah. Right? You can't just throw in whatever you want in the middle of your havdalah. So therefore, if you're not mechuyev to do it, it's a hefsek. So that's the issue. That's why you can't do it.
So if there's a shaila, shouldn't you do it afterwards on something?
Yeah, exactly. Anytime you have a suffix, it's not so possible to do it in the middle. You should do it only afterwards. Now, the shaila is like this. Normally, we treat, we spoke about this a few times already, that something which is a birkas hamitzvah, something which is a bracha on a mitzvah, so that even if you don't have to do it right now, you could be mitzi someone else that has to do it. Right, so let's say we discuss this. Let's say someone this Friday night asked me the shaila.
He's Abdullah, right?
Right, or let's say did kiddush already. Someone said he's going to his daughter, his married daughter. Her husband was out of town, and she doesn't want to make kiddush for herself. So he's going to the married daughter to make kiddush, but then he doesn't want to be yotze. He wants to go home and make kiddush for his family and have the meal at home. So he's allowed to make kiddush for the wife. So for the girl. He's allowed to because it doesn't make a difference. He's not being yotze. You could say kiddush to be motzi someone else. The shaila is, what about besamim? So I told him to give it to her to drink, but I think he could drink it also. But if she could, in that case, for sure she could drink it.
Not yotze drink also.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting. You have to say kiddush to someone else.
Also, same thing. Yeah.
I think
you probably go either way, but I don't have to look that up.
What's the problem with that?
With what?
With
him drinking it? Yeah. Because he's drinking it, but he's not being yotze kiddush. So it comes out he's drinking before kiddush. Anyway, so now the shaila is, can you make besamim for someone if you're not going to smell it? Because the question is, it's a birkas hananin, so I can't, like we spoke about, I can't. If you're about to take a drink, I can't say a shahakal for you if I'm not drinking. That we discussed, right? So here the besamim, it's a birkas hananin on one hand, but it's not a regular birkas hananin because I'm a chuyiv to do it.
The whole idea is to have the shahakal. Why do you do it?
No, you're going to smell it. You don't know how to make the bracha. So can I make the bracha? No, I know, but the question is, can I say the bracha?
I'm in the middle of the bracha, and you're not in the middle of the bracha. You make it when I'm after I say it, and you can use it, and I smell it.
Right.
So I'm not in the middle of the bracha.
I know, but the question is, that's a question. Can someone else make the basamim for a third party if that person's not going to smell? Or do you say, no, it's a birkas hananin? Do you say it's a birkas hananin, and a birkas hananin you can't make for someone if you're not participating in the hana? Or do you say, no, it's a birkas hamitzvahs, and just like the other guys, mechuyev to make a birkas hananin? Normally, the whole reason why I can't make a shahakal for you, is the poskim say, is because loy lishani v'loy livrech. You're not mechuyev to take the shahakal now. So don't drink if you don't know how to make a bracha. But here you have to take the basamim. So I'm allowed to give some for you. So there's an interesting halacha. It says like this in Reish Sadi Zayin. It says, Misha'ina me'riach. Let's say you lost your sense of smell. So you can't smell. Let's say the father of the family can't smell. He lost his sense of smell. So every week he's going to make havdalah, and he's going to make a besamim. Everyone else is going to pass around the besamim, but he can't smell. Is there such a thing that you lose your sense of smell? What? Uh-huh.
Not uncommon.
Okay. So, Misha Eina Me Riach, if you lost your sense of smell, Eina Mevarach Ala Besamim, you can't make a Besamim for someone else. Elim Kain Iskavin Lohitzi B'nei Beisei HaKtanim, Shehigiu L'chinuch, So, Lemaisa, if you're going to, he says here, you can make up a summon for a katan, because al tzchinuch, you could say it for him. That's always the case. Even a shahakal is like that for a katan. You're allowed to make shahakal for him. But then he says, oy lahaitzi mi she'eino yodeya. So it sounds like over here, I'm allowed to make a besamim for someone else, even if I'm not participating in the besamim. So big chiddush. So Maisa is huge chiddush. The Shtabura Taka brings down on that, kol ha'achroinim cholkim al zeh. So there's a huge chiddush, and everyone argued on that. So Maisa. Yeah, but Mishabura Lemaisa argues on that. Okay? So Lemaisa, the seems like I would say that the Halach Lemaisa based on the Mishabura is that the if you're going to be Yotze someone in Havdalah, if you're going to be Yotze someone in Havdalah, you should yourself smell the Besamim if you want to send the Besamim for them, or let them make the Brach themselves. But you can't make the Besamim and then just have them smell it. That's what it says over here. Okay, now, the what happens in your besamim, if you're besamim, you're not sure it smells like anything. I have this big machlekes with my wife all the time. We still have the same besamim from when we got married. And I'm always convinced that it's not strong enough. And I go to other people's houses and, oh, that doesn't besamim. She's convinced that it smells very good.
When you smash it up, it'll start smelling.
Oh, yeah? What? Oh, so this is the shy. Are you allowed to smell it first to see if it smells or no? It's a stomach bracha because. What? Right? The place can say you're allowed. It's like. You're allowed. Yeah. No, if you smell it, to test it if it smells.
It's like tasting the food Arab show. Right.
Now, what if you're in a place.
It's actually a mitzvah.
Right. Now, Lemaisa, now Lemaisa, if you're in a place that there's no besamim, so I've seen people that they go and take perfume and they'll make a besamim on the perfume. Oh, someone said we'll get that. So Lemaisa, the perfume is not considered. The perfume is not considered a spice. It's called a ruach, a reyach she'ein lo ikar. It's synthetic. It's all synthetic, and it doesn't come from anywhere. So Lemaisa, since it's a reyach she'ein lo ikar, you don't make a bracha on that. Lemaisa. So if you're in a hotel room for Shabbos, you're going away for Shabbos, and you don't have a besamim with you, you shouldn't make it on these makeshift, you know, things, unless you know that there's a natural herb in there, that you're making the bracha on the herb. Otherwise, if they just like, for example, you don't make a bracha of besamim, if let's say you have the keli that the besamim has been sitting in for the last 10 years, then you empty out the besamim, you just smell the keli, you don't make a bracha on that. Because it's a reach she'ein lo ikar. The herb is not there. So therefore, you don't make a bracha on that. So too the perfume. Even if they put natural stuff in there and they took it all out, if there's nothing left, it's not possible to make a bracha on that. So you should avoid that.
That we can't just take out something from the spice cabinet because it has to be something that's the perfume.
So this is a big machlokes between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish in Siman Reish Yud Ches. I don't even know that because Reach. So anyway, it says over there. The Chazon Ish and the Mishnah Berurah have this machlokes. Mishnah Berurah holds that if I take it out now to smell it, even if it's in my spice cabinet, I can make a bracha on that. Because now I'm being miyachad it for smell as I'm taking it out. I'm being miyachad it for smell. But the Chazon Ish holds that if it's really made for eating and you bought it for eating and spicing, you don't make a bracha on that. That's the Chazon Ish. So therefore, the Chazon Ish tainas, that's the makar why they have why I always wonder why do they have silver besamim holders? What are you making all besamim? I mean, besides you want to make money, but what's the purpose of that quote? What's the purpose of this whole besamim set issue? So the answer is like the Chazon Ish, because they wanted to set aside besamim that have no shaykes to anything else. It's only made for reyach. So therefore, it's in the kli that's made dafka for reyach, and that you make a bracha on it, l'kol yalma, not a shayla. That's what they hold. Now, it's brought down, by the way, that they used to make the bracha on hadasim. They used to keep the hadasim and make a bracha on them until they got dried out. So it's interesting to note. What? Right, I know. Oh, so what about an esrog? Now, Lamaisa, if you smell an esrog stamazoi on a Tuesday afternoon after Sukkot, because you're not allowed to smell it on Sukkot, so you smell it like some random time, the halacha is you don't make a bari minei b'samin. You make a noisin atzei, a noisin reyach toiv b'peiris. It's a different bracha. So now, that being said, also there's a whole bunch of different brachas that you make on b'samin, on different things. Bari atzei b'samin, bari minei b'samin, there's isvei b'samin, there's different brachas you make. So if you take an herb or let's say nana, you know, like mint leaves and stuff like that, so during the week you don't make a bari minei b'samin on that. You make a bari atzei b'samin or a bari isvei b'samin, something like that. But on Motzei Shabbos, they were masakin that on everything you make bari minei b'samin, no matter what. Because they want to keep it standard. Oh. But that being said, it's still a shaila if you can make a avdallah on b'samin on Esther. Since it's a fruit, it's already a shaila, and therefore you shouldn't make a b'samin on Esther. Right, maybe not Nesin Reyach Tov Paris. So and therefore they don't recommend making using an esrog for your besamim. But that minig that they use and use the clothes, then you're making it on the clothes really. So that will be okay. Now, okay. So that's why we make a very. That's why we make minig besamim on Motzei Shabbos. Okay. Now, the Shva.
What about this rose wine?
I would recommend not to do it.
What about this rose wine that you use?
Rose water?
Like rose water and other types of liquid.
First of all, it's probably synthetic. It's natural.
I think it's
hard to use it. They pass it out.
Rose water.
It could be water that got a natural smell that it could be used better. Mine shakoltu sareach, that could be better if it got a natural smell. I'm really talking about the synthetic stuff, you know, that you shouldn't do. Now, Lemaisa, what about the nair? So what's with the nair? So what's the No, because you have to make a bracha l'maisa. For the bracha issue, yeah, just like all year round, the bracha needs to be miyuchad. Now, what about the ner? What's with the ner? So why do we make a bracha on there? So really, there's two pshatim. Why we make a bracha on the ner? There's two reasons why, but the other reason is only in the Yom Kippur. But on Shabbos, the reason why we make a bracha on the ner is because fire was created Motzei Shabbos by Adam Arishon. He was moitzi a fire from two avanim, and so therefore, it's the hana of the eish that we have. We make a bracha bar me'areish. There's no new havdalah. It's a new thing that you make a bracha on eish. On Motzei Shabbos, the big shaila is it a brikas hashvach or is it a brikas hanenin? We'll see. So is it a brikas hashvach or brikas hanenin? What's a brikas hashvach? A brikas hashvach is like on thunder, lightning, right? Thunder, lightning, these things. That's a brikas hashvach. So you're making a shevach of Hashem that Hashem created such a creation called fire that and he gave it to us Motzei Shabbos, that it's such a beautiful creation that we can use it for so many different things. So. Okay. Fine, but that's not... Or do you say, no, it's for the Hanah. But the problem with that is, it's a strange thing then. Why Dafka Mitzvah, every time you turn on your fire, you should make it? Or why, you know, it's a little bit of a strange halacha that way. Now, what's a nafkamina? What's a nafkamina if it's a brikas hashvach or brikas hananin? A very big nafkamina is like this. The minig is that you're supposed to, you know, the whole nails thing. Look at your nails. So why do you do that? First of all, what are you supposed to do? And why do you do it? So it's the reason is because there's two reasons. Okay, so Lemaisa, the Briskerov held is that you're supposed to do it before the bracha, not after the bracha. Because it's, and the Mishabura is mashma like that. Why? Because if you do it before, Now you experienced it, so therefore you can make a Birkas HaShvach. It's like a Birkas HaShvach. You don't say a Birkas HaShvach before you hear the thunder. You don't make a Birkas HaShvach on your way to the beach and you're about to see the ocean. You don't make a Birkas HaShvach because you're going to see the ocean in a minute.
It's not enough to
just look at it. Yeah, because it helps me. Why am I looking at your fingers? Because the fire gives light that I could be mafkin between two coins. That's what it is. You could use a light to tell the difference between this type of coin and that type of coin. So we don't have coins. So you try to use it to tell the difference between your skin and your nail. So that's why you go like this, to tell the difference between your skin and the nail. Just like you want to tell the difference between two types of coins. So most people are trying to get like a good angle and like look at your nail. It's nothing to do with the nail. It's looking at the skin with the nail together. You want to look at them together to be mafred beinayim. So the Brisk Rav says you have to first experience the shvach and then make the bracha. What? No, for Nanin? No, that's what I'm saying. According to this, it's more to experience the shvach. It's like, oh, I see how great it is. Now I appreciate it. Oh, the other pshat is, no, you do it afterwards because it's a Birkas HaNanin. And every Birkas HaNanin, you always make the bracha first, and then you're Nanin. No. You want to do that hana. The hana is of separating between one thing and the other.
So, I like the first one.
Huh? So you like the first one. So what do you do, though?
I don't do that.
You do it afterwards. Okay.
Just because that's how I see it.
Right. So, what? No, I don't know what we paskin. Mr. Brook, I know. So you paskin Enin. I don't know what others paskin. The Chazanish paskin, the Mishabura and the Brisk Rav did do before. What? Yeah, so I do personally the whole time. Both. Well, just do both. Or some people do it while you're doing the bracha, but then you can't concentrate on the bracha. What? So I didn't see one hand or two hands. All I did see, as we'll see in a minute, is by the Mavari, who's holding the cup. So we'll have to see. But now, no, it brought down only these four fingers. Now, the other thing is, it says also, it's supposed to help you see the lines on your palm. Oh, so you don't do like that. So that's why people go like, that's why you do this. Why do you do this for? Oh, so the Mishabura brings down, the reason you do this is because you want to see both things at once. You want to see the light being differentiating between the nails and the skin, and you can see the lines in your finger at once. And then, what?
What's the purpose of the lines?
Also, I think that's up to your desire. I don't know. Then it says, he doesn't say lines really. He just says, shouldn't say lines. His lashon is, she'oz royati pranayim im hakapois bevas achas. You see the palm of your hand. I don't know. I made up the lines thing. He says it's a siman to get bracha if you see the lines on your hands. So that's what Shabura brings down. So therefore, if you go like this, you see both. You see the difference between the nail and the skin, and then
what's
you see the
significance of that?
That's to distinguish between two things. So if you don't have two coins, it says you're supposed to distinguish between two coins, but you don't have two coins. So you use this and it. And then the Ramah says, and then okay, and then other people, and then they say you go like this and just look at again, just the nails and the fingers again. So go do both. Oh yeah, that could be, but that's not brought down here. So okay now. He also says he's supposed to, like you said, cover the thumb. So you go like this. So you have to like epis position it that you're covering the thumb, but you still have room on your palms. Okay. Now, what? What, this thing?
Yeah.
Where you go? This, that, yeah. So now it's like this.
So,
I don't know. Some things you don't ask. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where to draw the line. I don't know. Now, Lamaisa, The halacha is you're supposed to use it in avuka. Avuka means it's a candle, which is a torch, meaning it's made up of two flames. Now, Lemaisa, Mishabur brings down that it's supposed to be that there's two separate candles that are connected. He says, if let's say you have two wicks in one thing of oil, that's not called an avuka, because they're really the same candle, you just put two wicks in. It has to be that there's two candles. So I was wondering, I didn't see any place to talk about it, but a lot of the stores that sell these designer havdalah candles, the ones that look like a lantern or whatever. So what is it, essentially? It's one big piece of wax, and they stick two... So I'm not so sure that that's called an avuka, because there's no two candles there. It's just two.
Two separate sources of fuel, whatever.
Now the only right, the lashon is that it's ner kalua, that it's weaved together. So that's the old fashioned havdalah candles, the good old fashioned yellow ones, or right. So that one is taka made up of multiple candles that they weave together. This Motzei Shabbos, the Mamash had a meridik asker, because it's a very wide one. It's like nine candles together, and all of a sudden it fell apart. So I had nine candles running all over the place.
Unraveled?
It just unraveled in the middle of Havdalah.
At the end, when they get low.
What?
When they get low, they start unraveling.
Yeah, I never chopped that. I guess I never got that low. It totally unraveled.
What's the problem? It's still nine candles.
Yeah, but now...
Shkoyah. I don't have a house anymore.
His house was on fire.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that.
No, I'm
so
saying...
So it's definitely kosher.
I couldn't... My poor daughter was holding the Havdalah candle. Oh, the next thing I know, there's nine candles flying all over the place. But anyway... Anyway, one candle that has two. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just being ma'orer that the lotion over here is a little bit mashma. If there's a clear hefsik, if there's a clear break between the two, maybe it's better. But if the two wicks are just coming out of one hole, it's no good.
What about the holders? The holder.
No, that's not it. I'm saying if you have two wicks coming out of one hole, that's not good. So that, I think, you have to check.
You have an Esrog.
So you have a two-in-one, you have the Esrog, Besamim, and Nair combination?
No,
oh, really?
It looks like an Esrog, but it's wax.
What?
But it doesn't, it's not
wax. What does that mean? The ones I've seen in the store is three different candles from three different holes, three different wicks. You got to check.
Maybe still be Shabbos for
one candle.
The lashon of the Shabura is that if it's connected, but if there's a hefsek of shaiva between them, that's okay.
Yeah. Separate.
You have to see. I'm just being ma'ur that I've seen this issue. Okay? Now, Lamaisa, the halacha is like this. That you only make a bra, it's not so nageya, but it's a little bit nageya, that if there was a candle that was lit ba'avera on Shabbos, you can't use that Motzei Shabbos. So if let's say a goy lit a candle on Shabbos, you don't use that candle for Havdalah. Because if a Yid would do it, it would be an avera. So therefore, we don't use that candle on Shabbos. Now, what? No, transfer you could. Now, Lamaisa also has to be a ner, which is lit, to be nanif from it. So for example, you cannot make a bar mim nev samim on a yard site candle or on your stove, lamasha. Let's say you have a gas stove, because it was made to... if you turn it on for that, I'm saying if it was on the whole Shabbos. If you turn it on for that, you could. Okay, now, there's a big tumult. I don't have a clear psak, but it's a clear tumult. It's a tumult about if Motzei Shabbos is Yom Tov. So how do you make the ner? If you put them together, or you just make the brach on them separately? Some people say dafka either way, because if you put them together, then it's good, but the problem is when you take them apart, you're doing kivui. Okay, we'll do something like that. Now, okay. So now, this is the purpose of the Nair. Oh, by the way, there's a big tumult. This is the old Shaila, if a incandescent light bulb is fire. So the Chaim Moizer held, that a light bulb is fire, and he held you can make a bracha of Boyer Me'orei Ha'esh on an incandescent light bulb. And he held that that's an avuka, because it gives a lot of light. What? No. You say, why is that an avuka? Okay. You say, where's the avuka there? So it's a shalheves, but it's not an avuka. I hear what you're saying. Okay. Okay, it's a good shiloh. It's a good shiloh.
Maybe. I don't know really how it works.
Electricity comes from one side, goes to the other.
Maybe it's two wires, two filaments.
Kosher when you get one of kosher and now I think they're all incandescent. Is it incandescent bulbs or is it incandescent bulbs getting hot on? So it's no time to put a second filament to that.
I hear what you're asking about the shalheves, about the avuka, why it's called an avuka. But there's another shaila also, is that you're not allowed to make a bracha if the fire is behind glass. It's called or ba'ashoshes, ner ba'ashoshes. So you're not allowed to make it when it's behind glass. So here the shaila is, if it's when the light bulb, how do you make it anyway? It's behind the glass. No, it's some are more makel on that. But by the way, if you have like a tinted glass and you only see the light, but you don't see the fire, for sure you can't make a bracha. If you turn it on, l'shem that. Yeah. Now l'maisa, there's a lot of shilas with the electric. Some people want a taina that would be an eitzah for Motzei Shabbos, which is Yom Tov. You could just make it on your lights. You don't have to worry about the candles. No, you just make it on the light. Maisa, they want to say, yeah, but you're turning it on for R. It's okay. And the problem with the stove is that's not for R. It's for fire. But if you turn it on for R, that's okay. The only thing is that some want to say that this thing that Reb Chaim Moizer said that you can make a bracha on it, Reb Nissen Karelet said, he really, avada you could, but lechatchila he would never have made a bracha on it. He wanted to make a bracha on it to show people the choymer adavar that electricity is really fire. Because when it first came out, people didn't know what it was. He wanted to show how chumra it is, that it's mamish like fire, that you can even make a bracha on it. Well, lemaisa, lalach lemaisa, not to. Well, lemaisa, I saw many places can say you could. Lemaisa, if you have no other choice, then you can make a bracha on it. Now, lemaisa, the thing is like this. So, one thing that you have to know is that when you're making the Avdallah, you start off with the right hand. You make Avdallah, you're holding the cup, you say Bari Priya Gafen. Okay? You have to lift it up while you're saying the Avdallah. Now, while you're saying the Avdallah, you're supposed to hold the Besamim in your left hand. Because Besam is part of the process. So you say Borei Pri HaGafen while you're holding the Besam in the left hand. But when you make the Bracha Besamim, you have to hold the Besam in the right hand. So now you put down the cup and you take the Besam in the left hand. But while you're making the Besamim, you want the Besam to be part of the Havdalah. So you still have to be holding the Kais. So you have to take the Kais in the left hand. So the halacha is you don't just put down the cup.
What was the reason that you do it in the left hand?
What? The cup?
Something in the right, cup in the left?
Because you want to show that the besame is part of the avdala. So therefore, it's also ala. The lashon of the Gemara is that it was niskan al hakois. So therefore, you take the besame, you switch hands. Okay, then you make the bracha of the besame while you're holding the cup in the left hand. You put down the besame, and then the eish. So here's where I saw brought down that you only have to do the finger thing with your right hand while you're holding the cup in the left. I thought, I didn't see what happened to everyone else if they should do both hands.
Okay, what switch? Don't put down the besame, take it in your right hand.
No, still you're holding the cup in the left.
You hold the cup in the right, look at the besame.
And then you stick the besame in the right hand, and then make the besame, and then you go like this, and then you switch the cup back to the right hand to make the hamavdil.
When do you pick up the besame?
At the beginning.
Why are you making the agafen?
The besamim is supposed to be in your left hand. After you finish the agafen, you put down the besamim, you put down the cup, you switch the hand, and you switch hands. You switch hands.
I thought you were making the bracha.
What do you put down,
right
the cup
hand?
Or the besamim?
I don't know. No, you switch hands.
No, but what do you put down?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. You switch hands is the point.
Okay.
You want to know if you switch hands at the same time? You probably spill them both. The point is that you figure out a way to switch hands, okay? And then you make the besamim with the besamim in your right hand and the cup is in your left. Then you put down the besamim. Then you make the bari mara'esh. You put and you play around with the fire. You play around with the fire during the bracha or before and after, because we said you're supposed to put your hands there before the ner and after the ner. Okay, so you can do it both with all the chumras.
You look at your fingers also before.
Yeah, you look at before. You say the bari mara'esh, and you look again afterwards. No, the cup is in your left hand at this point. You put down
the bracha on your right always.
Whatever you're making the bracha on is in your right. So therefore, you're making hagafen, it's in your right. But you want to have the besame in your left because it's part of the avdala. Then you make a besame, it's in your right. But you want to put down the cup because it's still avdala. So you take it to your left. And then you put down the cup, you go like this, bar mara'esh, and you go again, bar mara'esh, you say again. Then you switch hands, you take the cup back to your right, and you say, I'm avdil. So maybe you should rather put the besamim down, switch hands, and then take the besamim. But you have to be holding the besamim in your left at the beginning.
Sorry.
What?
You put the cup down.
No, you don't put the cup down when you check your fingers.
You don't?
No, that's what I said. No, because you only check the fingers with your right hand. Because the cup is still on your left the whole time. That's the thing. You don't put the cup down.
What's the reason for so you look inside the reflection in the left?
After besamim, you leave it in your left hand? After besamim?
Yeah, the whole time, during the besamim and the nair, the cup is in your left hand. So anyway, so this is why I said in the beginning that you could tell if someone knows learn through the halachas if they do avdala properly. Because if you never learn the halachas, there's no chance you would come up with this on your own. The cup is in your right and the besamim is in your left. Basically by goffin, but I didn't see that. I didn't see it. I didn't say that. You say that. I'm saying I didn't see it anyway. No, that's what I'm saying. You hold the cup in your left and you do the thing in your left.
You have to hold the candles and watch
yourself.
Oh, if you're by yourself? If you're by yourself?
Can't have to be raised? Can it just be on the stand?
I guess you put it down. I guess you put down the cup. I don't know. If you're by yourself, what are you doing?
Maybe you can light the candle at that point.
You get one of those things that have the self-holding.
By the way, also in interesting halacha, stamazai. Yeah, Stam, what you're talking about, who holds the candle and everything, it's brought down that even though normally you're not allowed to benefit, a husband's not allowed to benefit, in Hilchos Nida it's brought down, Hachokis, that a husband's not allowed to benefit from a fire that's in the hand of his wife if she's a Nida. Al Tzachokis, but an Havdalah she is. In other words, you wouldn't be allowed, let's say she can't light up your cigarette. Well, so whatever. So, the pipe, sorry. So the Havdalah, she's allowed to hold it, even if she's neither. You're not allowed to light it. You're not allowed to light it while she's holding it.
Is it true that if a woman drinks the rest of the Havdalah, she has to eat?
It's brought down that she shouldn't drink it. This is a very famous thing that everyone says. If the woman drinks the wine from Havdalah, she grows a beard. But so the pshat is, I heard from somebody, the pshat is because the Zohar says that it's a kasa de diknusa or something like that. It's something like, there may be some remiss to it somewhere. Everyone heard that, but it is brought down that they don't drink. Oh! Okay, I forgot to talk about what's the halacha. Nashim making havdalah. Okay, we have to talk about that. We'll talk about it now. We'll talk about it next week. About the Nashim making havdalah. It's very to get to know. Okay, fine.